At this page we'll go through and read. Book 3, 9. The sequence of mental states of the thinking instrument is as follows. The mind reacts to that which is seen, then follows the moment of mind control. Then ensues a moment wherein the chitta responds to both these factors. Finally, these pass away and the perceiving consciousness has full sway. The sage explains how automatic reflex action to the incoming impulses loaded and abetted by memory soaked in past emotions is slowly converted into response. Only when one reaches the stage 3B, that is the third diagram, is this sequence broken. I have just told you that when you are about to reach the point in time, that is your third step. That means diagram 3B. At stage 3A, one experiences a slight pause before one reacts and one is about to practice response. It should be noted that both the brain and the individual mind can work towards bondage as well as towards moksha. What does it say? It should be noted that both the brain and individual mind can work towards bondage as well as towards moksha. When the brain and the individual mind are not in communication with the divine mind of God, chitti, one is in bondage. When the same brain and the same individual mind is in communication with the mind of God, we are moving towards moksha. The natural inclination at the present level of evolution of the human race is towards bondage, but individuals are free to work towards moksha. To help the brain and the individual mind work towards moksha or bondage, the body-brain system is equipped with two sets of nervous systems. One, the sympathetic nervous system is active because the present inclination of the brain and the individual mind is towards bondage. It is outgoing and seeks pleasure to satisfy desires of all kinds. The other, which at the present level of evolution of the human race is nearly dormant, is the parasympathetic system. It has both efferent and afferent nerve fibers to excite if necessary and inhibit if necessary. There is no special effort required for this. It is the nervous system of the later days of humanity. This parasympathetic nervous system can be made fully operative and active through proper practices. Once the brain and individual mind are thus adequately equipped, it is easier and more natural to move towards moksha. There is no need to inhibit or suppress each unwanted emotion and outgoing tendency. Through the cultivation of this habit of chitta, there will eventually occur a steadiness of spiritual perception. As stated in 3.9, once this nervous system is regenerated from its dormant state, many call this Kundalini Shakti, but that is not true. Day by day, greater automatic control will flow and steadiness at first of the thinking instrument, that is the mental posture, is achieved. Once this is achieved, spiritual perception will follow. The establishing of this habit and restraining of the mind, calming of the thinking instrument from its thought-forming or thought-making tendency results eventually in the constant power to contemplate. The posture described in the previous two sutras in diagram 3A is to be cultivated with care and proper methods, and proper results will follow. This habit is established over a time and the chitta becomes steadier. This sutra goes beyond the possibilities talked about in 3.9 and 3.10. This is a state where the thinking instrument and the thinking principle are not allowed to come together for the benefit of newcomers. Again, I'll say that here we have used the two terms, thinking instrument and
thinking principle.
What is the thinking instrument? The thinking instrument is the front brain, the rear brain with its memory patterns, and the incoming impulses. The incoming impulses come at the rate of 120 per second for the brain. In all, about 30,000 impulses per second enter the human body frame, of which 120 reach the brain per second. When the incoming impulses meet the memory patterns, and in the forebrain it is developed as a camera picture is developed, we see the outer world as the incoming impulses are. The incoming impulses come to us, not same for everyone. The incoming impulses come to us as per individual structure, as per individual sanskar. Five men walking on the same street looking at the same things will have five different types of thoughts, because their sanskar will make them translate in a different manner. You get my point? So, this is the instrument. The front brain, the rear brain is the instrument. The thinking principle is the incoming impulse and the memory patterns. If the memory patterns depend upon your sanskar, if you change your sanskar, memory patterns become useless and helpless. Useless and helpless. You get my point? To change your sanskar, to change your structure, is like changing your blood group. Changing your sanskar, changing your structure, is like changing your blood group. If you change your sanskar, if you change your structure, it requires different type of incoming impulses, and your past preserved memory patterns become useless and helpless, and therefore a new type of thinking begins. Then you wonder why people are so materialistic, and other people think, why do these mad people exist in this world? But the world is meant for living. Depends upon sanskar, depends upon structure, and on this depends the translation of incoming impulses. So, we are mechanically, automatically living as per the thinking instrument and the thinking principle coming together and rolling continuously, and we have no choice. We have no choice. You will be rejected as a doctor can reject your blood group. This will not necessarily mean you are bad if your blood group does not match. But for that particular purpose, you are rejected. And God and nature has a particular purpose. So let us take care of our sanskar and structure so that when we offer, we are not rejected. The whole idea of taking hundreds and thousands of births is to change our structure and our sanskar so that we may not be rejected. We may be pious, we may be good, but we may still be rejected. If whatever I said today does not form the basis of your thinking, your mind must be open. Do you know the size of the sun? They say in one of the sunspots a few earths can be placed. It's so huge. It can be seen through a tiny hole. Can it be? Or not? You don't require a hole that big to see the sun. In the same way, you require a little change in you, a little change of sanskar, of structure, to see the mighty mind of God. Do you get my point? So, what are we saying here? Identical memory patterns, huh? All that you have done? Where are they?
Last paragraph, third line.
Last paragraph. The incoming impulses no longer meet the identical memory patterns soaked in past experience, emotions experienced, which color the present thinking. Refer diagrams 3A, 3B. Note the definite change. Diagram 3A represents Sutra 3.9 and 3.10, while diagram 3B represents 3.11. Thus, IESM, the four centers in the front brain, intellectual, emotion, sex, movement, in the registration area, are unable to function if the thinking principle is thus distorted and the thought form making tendency is disrupted. So with the thinking instrument, thus totally calm down, the meditative attitude becomes natural to the individual. The individual has decided to take the step on the path. He has pursued the point in time and he has placed his first step. So what happened? Incoming impulses enter the brain at the rate of 120 a second. And therefore, 120 thoughts are formed in your brain every second. If you can reduce these 120 thoughts to 50, you have achieved much. If you can reduce it to 25, it's extremely good. 25 thoughts a second. And in dhyana, you want to hold on to a single thought. It is not possible. Mechanically, it is not possible. Why is slow motion camera used to find which horse has won? Because our eyes can't see it. Slow motion is required to see whether the batsman is out or not out. Why? Because we can't see it. And these motions are very slow, which we can't see. And the thought rate is at 120 thoughts per second. We are not able to see, and therefore we are not able to control. So when we talk about dhyana and dhyana, we must realize that if we can bring this 120 per second to 50 per second, we have done a lot. Then later we shall think about dhyana and dhyana. Understand? Symmetry of form, beauty of color, strength and the compactness of the diamond constitute bodily perfection. when the chitta is steady and thought formation is refined, the body too becomes refined. It tends towards being healthier and more compact irrespective of age. The sage now describes a perfectly healthy body. Its form has symmetry. The skin is clear of all blemishes. The tissues and muscles are firm like a diamond. And like the diamond, it is a product of many million years of evolution. And we are talking about many million years of evolution only for a physical body. We are yet not talking about the emotions and mental structure and your sanskar or nothing else. Many millions of years we are talking about the physical form. Unfortunately, and I think sometimes it is not fair on the part of God and nature, that His measure tape is on a different... You see, with God, 1 second is a few million years. That is the trouble with us. Unless we change our measures, change our yardstick and our meter and our mile and our kilometer, something must be done, I tell you. This won't do. Because after 5 million years or 10 million years, God will wink and say, in 1 second, why do you make such a fuss? We have done nothing. So this is important. Out in space, there is no kilometer. Out in space, there is no mile. Out in space, there is no second or hour. The measurements are totally different. And that is your physical universe. And when you want to see your psychic and spiritual universe, the measurements are still different. If today you are sent into space and made to see, you will come back with the wrong knowledge. Because this knowledge is not in you to compare and understand. So was poor Arjuna frightened. When he was made to see the psychic and spiritual universe, he got frightened. Because he had no standard to compare and understand. He said, please take your human form. That is good for me. Nothing more. You see? So this is what is meant in the Gita. You see? The spiritual and psychic dimensions of our universe. Our universe is a living thing, a living substance. Not dead. There is no dead space. There are no dead suns and stars and galaxies. And if you are thrown amongst them, you won't know how to understand them. That is why I say, open your mind. Open your minds to other measurements. Come out of this narrow thinking of gospels and men, temples and mosques and all that. Come out, come out. Your God is not so small. He is very big. Come out of all this. Then there we, and like the diamond is a product of many million years of evolution. It also means mastery of the panchabhutas, control over the three gunas, and acquiring the 8 siddhis. What does all this mean? I'll read again. It also means mastery of the panchabhutas, control over the 3 gunas, and acquiring the 8 siddhis. It means you have learned A, B, C, D of the psychic universe. The spiritual universe is still far away. So when you learn this, when you get this, when you master the 3 gunas, when you have got the 8 siddhis, all that then you achieve, you have put your first step into the psychic universe. The transfer of consciousness from a lower vehicle into a higher is part of the great creative and evolutionary process. The inner evolution, that is upgrading of inner awareness through the constant endeavor, brings about an increased vibrational tone which requires a more cultivated and more sophisticated form. This is the law of nature and happens to be part of the great creative and evolutionary process. Unlike science today, which notes improved forms over millions of years, the Hindu thought has always been directed towards inner evolution and how best it can be hastened. Jatyanta means transformation into another class of the same species. For Sage Patanjali talks only of the human mind and human beings. The same species. There's a Gunda species, there's a gentleman species, there's a saintly species. They are species of human beings. They are all having arms and legs and head and eyes, but they are different species. And on the path, when you put your first step on the psychic side of life, and then on the spiritual side of life, you are a different species of humanity. Though outwardly you will look the same. In later sutra, he says that though the form may be similar, the inner evolution may be on a different scale. This is also true of every species of lower life, both flora and fauna. The activities of the liberated soul are free from the pairs of the opposites. Those of other people are of three kinds. Here, I have talked again and again, spoken again and again about the inner pendulum. The inner pendulum. I have also told you in some of the earlier meetings, the 20, 30, 40 times a day, call a stop and see what thoughts are passing through you. And with this exercise carried on for a few months, you will find that you are either in the past or in the future. This inner pendulum. Past, future. Because when it starts at present, the pendulum is there. We cannot be in the present. We have always to be into the past and into the future. And Patanjali says, both past and future are imaginations. They are not facts. Past and future is not fact. It's an imagination of your mind. You think back or you think of the coming event and color it as you like. This past and future movement, pairs of the opposite, past and future. It may be cold and hot, there are millions of pairs, but this is the vital, important pair, past and future. When the pendulum slows down, we are coming to the point in time. Slowly the pendulum slows, the swinging is not that big, it is smaller. We are coming to the point in time. Because the point in time is eternal. The past and the future are fleeting. The point in time is eternal. And when the pendulum slowly comes to the point in time, you are in the eternal. You are in the eternal. You see your entire past, you see your entire future as one big projection on the screen. You don't have to close your eyes that this was my first life, second life. The whole thing is on one projection. Because you are now eternal. Your thinking is eternal, your understanding is eternal. See? So this is the most important pairs of the opposites. Free from the pairs of the opposites. Those of other people are of three kinds. What three kinds? The three kinds of gunas. Remember, and it's the biggest mistake we all of us do. We want to be free from rajas or tamas, and we would like to accumulate sattva. The minute you do that, you are unbalanced. The minute you do that, you are unbalanced. The mind of God is not sattva alone. The mind of God is an ocean of sattva, tamas, rajas. And our minds take from it as it wants. The murderer murders, and the others do likewise. You see? But the mind of God is balanced. Nature is balanced. All the three gunas are balanced. It is our communication that matters. We may communicate with sattva, we may communicate with rajas, we may communicate with tamas. But like God and nature, our mind also should be balanced. A murderer or a thief is quickly traced by a very intelligent, what should we say? Sherlock Holmes. An intelligent Sherlock Holmes will immediately trace a murderer or a thief. Why? His mind can think also as a murderer or a thief. The only difference is he doesn't make use of it for his own self. So like that, God has everything. He doesn't need to make use of all these. When our mind will reach that state that we have everything but we don't need to make use of it, that is our eternal stand. Till then, we will go this way, that way, this way, that way. You get my point? These pairs of opposites lead to an unbalanced mind. With a balanced mind, nothing sways you. You have everything. You are complete. You don't need to make use of. When awareness is on the way to becoming pure awareness is nothing but the mind of God. The inner evolution has taken place to an appreciable degree. Oscillations into the past and future subside. Earlier we had considered the vibrations of a metal tuning fork. In like manner, if the thinking instrument is agitated, if the qualities are out of rhythm and balance, this sensitive instrument of nature, the finest creation in the universe, takes time to settle down again, provided fresh agitation is not caused. If the thinking principle is disrupted, the thinking instrument is not able to function as normal. So the higher intuition and perception replace ordinary human thinking as given in Sloka 3.11. With this comes freedom from the bondage of the pairs of the opposites, which is a characteristic of common human thinking. This is unfortunately not so in the case of other people for whom the pairs of the opposites still prevail and the three qualities remain in a state of turmoil, out of rhythm and balance. Try to work towards being free from the bondage of the pairs of the opposites and you will realize what an achievement it is. Thanks. From these three kinds of karma emerge those forms which are necessary for the fruition of the effects. depending on the basic types of thinking associated with intellectual, emotional and sex centers, and depending on their final intensities, three types of karma will result. They in turn will lead to three types of karma visiting the individual. They are immediate karma, distant karma, original karma. Each in turn will need a particular type of form, a body, a brain system, a particular type of a family background and other accompanying aspects for their fulfillment. So, if we are born with certain deficiencies and or defects, it is simply due to the final state of the intensities of our intellectual, emotional and sex centers. And only we ourselves are fully responsible for the conditions of our future birth. As Ramaprasad states, then from the threefold karma proceed such residual potencies, that is memory, competent to bring about the fruition of those actions alone. Residual potencies means memory, sanskar, the structure of acceptance, are the causes that properly determine, as per nature's law, the type of body-brain system, your structure, one will be born with, as well as the spectrum of the structure of acceptance within which only one can act, no more and no less. Many a time I feel that we people on earth are living in a game preserve. We are so wild, we are so antisocial, that nature has kept us aloof in a big game preserve, because nature still thinks we are dangerous. You are dangerous to the health of the universe. So you realize what we have to do? We have to come out of this surrounding in which we are put, to be able to go deep into universe where we may be accepted. So this game preserve means we have particular structure only. Game preserve need not necessarily mean you are tigers or lions. You can also be deer and other animals. But whatever we are fit enough only for a game preserve, mightily structured by God and nature, and for at least 5,000 light years in every direction, there may not be another planet with a human society. We are totally isolated. Because the pollution of our thoughts has a pretty long range. It might pollute space for a few thousand light years. That is why we are isolated in this game preserve. Our fastest spaceship may look like, seen from a distance, might look like stationary objects. What hope we have to go to the deep into the universe with stationary objects? Because anything that flies at 20 miles per second is a stationary object. So this is all our power to be. So we meekly submit to whatever is dished out to us. Here is the question of rebellion. Here is the question of understanding why we are here. Why we have to live within these limitations. Can we improve and extend this limitation? Can we tear through this limitation to freedom? When the word moksha is used, it is used in this sense. Don't you believe that A few thousand years ago, our sasters did not know the depth of the universe. They did. And to them, moksha was to be able to go out of this game preserve into a better world. That was moksha. Desire to live being eternal. These mind-created forms are without known beginning. No one, of course, knows or has a count of the number of one's births so far, and when the cycle of birth and death started, nor how long it will continue, perhaps even endlessly. But we can surely work consciously to bring an end to the cycle of birth and death. The steps in this work have been laid out before us. Heal the psychic nature, calm the chitta, establish communication first with chitti and later with Ishvara, the Gurudeva within. You understand these simple steps? They are very simple. Heal the psychic nature, calm the chitta, establish communication with chitti and later with Ishvara, the Gurudeva within. All these easy steps might require 100 or 200,000 lifetimes. But it can be done. And it can be done even quicker. It can be done in 10-15 lifetimes also. For that, as we stated earlier, we require white hot aspiration. Then we can cut short within a few lifetimes. The sastras say that in the beginning things were very subtle and formless. Only nebulous patterns existed and were imprinted in space-time. Only slowly did existence become more and more opaque and material so that it could be registered by the senses. But there is no talk of chaos. Order was always the byword for the universe, followed the imprinted patterns. According to the sastras, involution was an unwinding process wherein the universe was expanding. And now in evolution, it is the process of rewinding. Now this dense and opaque universe is going back towards a more and more subtle state as it was in the beginning. If we understand that involution has preceded the present evolution, that is, the winding up process is now following the earlier unwinding process, we infer that we have been born innumerable times by now and have collected a large enough load of karma. The winding up process will be equally long if we go by the natural law. If we bring in techniques of yoga, this can be hastened considerably. These forms are created and held together through desire, the basic cause, personality, the effective result, mental vitality or the will to live, and the support of the outward going life. When these cease to attract, then the forms cease likewise to be. Birth is the result of a prior cause, intense desire to live. One form becomes the cause of a subsequent form, and one life the cause of a subsequent life. If, however, attraction to sense object is brought to an end, when one outgoing life does not crave for another incoming life, the desire for life and living slows down and ultimately ceases. There is then no need for further life and form. But first, the desire to die consciously must arise, and practice to that effect must be undertaken. These are a few more easy steps that we have to undertake. To sleep consciously, to die consciously, and to be born consciously, these are a few more simple steps that we have to follow. that I'm saying. If I discourage you, I ask your pardon. If I encourage you, I am happy. If you have questions, please do ask. We will stop here for the day. She is asking a very good question. When we talk about establishing communication, just now we have read that we first establish with Chitti and then establish with Ishvara, am I right? That's her question. Now, if you have understood well and good, if you have not understood, I would like to clarify. We are talking about the mind of God and we are talking about God itself. Which do you prefer? God itself. That is why on a lower scale we first communicate with divine mind. The next step is to communicate with God itself. Understood? So, I have to request that May, of course, we don't meet. But in June, if I am not able to meet, will you excuse me? Because in June, I may not be here till the last Thursday. But, and I am giving a little tell to our patrons that if we are meeting on the last Thursday, a few days earlier, I will inform. Okay? If we are meeting on last Thursday, I will inform a few days earlier. Only thing I have to do is to confuse you sufficiently. Because unless you are confused, you won't ask me questions.
I would like to know then.
You see, when you are totally confused, you come out with a set of questions. That's what I want. See, the lady asked me just now because she was a little confused. And my whole object sincerely is to confuse you. And as much as possible.
Now, I would like to set my confusion.
Good question. How can we communicate if we don't know how to communicate? Correct? Very correct. Fortunately or unfortunately, you're a newcomer. For ages, we have put all the emphasis on rhythmic breathing. You see, there is a link, like the chain. Rhythmic breathing brings about rhythmic thinking, which brings about rhythmic emotions, which brings about rhythmic action, which brings about rhythmic life. You see, how to search for anything, all you have to do is to do. Begin with rhythmic breathing, which should be made your natural breath all 24 hours. That means for 24 hours your thinking will be rhythmic, your emotions will be rhythmic, your actions will be rhythmic, your life will be rhythmic. You will force God to come to you and say, please stop. I am confused now. So you need not worry about communication. Communication takes place only when a lot of struggle inside and chaos inside is replaced by rhythm and balance. Forget that.
When a person is communicating, how do you recognize the symptoms?
Forget that. Whenever you can diagnose symptoms, it is disease. So don't go for symptoms. You be. Here it's a question of becoming. You see? It is not the sort of illness where you are seeking for symptoms. Don't seek for symptoms. If your eye is not open, you will never see them. And if your eye is open, you don't need symptoms to be examined. You will know. On this path, therefore, you don't use the colloquial language. Not even sign. Just do. Just be. And see the result. You see?
What will the result be?
This is experience. The result is the experience. That experience cannot be quoted. Experience is individual. Each one has to experience.